Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Martin. I'm here with my friend Andre Snyder. Andre's been involved with the Bible Students Notebooks and book publishing and many other projects in the ministry. So we want to catch up with him today, talk a little bit about his where he came from, his spiritual journey, what he's involved in today. We'll just see where all this goes. So the first question, I guess, is can you give us tell us about yourself a little bit of your, about your family and share your story, how you came to faith and kind of how you got to where you are today.
Sure. Wow. Being 71, it's been a long journey. I got saved. Of course, we know now that it's God who gave me the faith, the realization of himself and what he did and what Christ did on the cross, etc. Back in 1981. And I'd spent several years going around trying different things. When I was younger, I was sort of forced to go to Sunday school. I didn't like it. I don't know. I didn't like the idea that I was being forced, number one. And it sort of gave me a taste of what religion does to you. Secondly, it was Sunday Bible study for kids. You know, you put you in a separate classroom. I didn't like that. So I quit going after several sessions and told my parents I just didn't want to go. You know, so at that point, I felt like, well, no need to try to force him. He's not going to get anything out of it. So basically, I was a Sunday school dropout. And then I'll tell you, there's one event that I had in my life that I remember was older, and I was riding my bike around my neighbor. I think it was down in Florida. But I'd always had thoughts about God or about what was going on in the universe, you know, all the stuff around me, the creation, both locally and out in the celestial area. And just wondering about God, if there was a God and so on. And just one day stopped on a corner looking up at the sky. It came to me. God is real. Okay, that can only be God talking to me. But I think it was premised based on what I had heard about him. So maybe that Sunday school wasn't a total washout. You know, never really did anything with it beyond that, you know. And of course, also I should preface everything I say that I understand that God is doing it all. He's working in us to bring us down a path to where we are today. Everything I now believe that happened to me was God's work to bring me along to this point, the good and the bad. So it brings us to the point of 1981 where I came to the realization God gave me the faith to believe in him and in the sacrifice of Christ. I actually did it when a good friend of mine at the time that I worked with was in the Navy, and we had been arguing with this guy about the Bible, telling, you know, he was trying to say certain things about salvation and all that. And we were arguing with him, but every time we objected to something, he would turn his page and go to the scriptures and say, yeah, but what do you think about what it says here? What do you think here? And after several times of doing this, he and I finally came to the conclusion, you know, we're not arguing with this guy, we're arguing with God. So somehow I knew or understood, and of course, you know, God being the reason, that the scriptures were the word of God. And I think one of the things that at the time, because he was telling us about hell, you know, you want to go to hell, you know? So that's all I knew. But we had made the decision, get in the frame here, made the decision to trust Christ, you know? So at that point, you know, we consider ourselves to be part of that group of saved individuals. Now, of course, I know everybody's saved. They just A lot of people don't realize it at this point. And so that began my journey down the path of coming to know God and know about Christ and God. It's been a long time. I've been, you figure, 1981 to today's 2024. So that's, how many years is that? 43 years, you know? So in that early stage, I tried some different things. I almost became Mormon. I tried some different Christian denominations. There were some, this is not like during the, I don't know, there was a stage where we had a lot of youth were getting more interested in church and Christianity. And there was a big move by churches to do that. Lots of modern music for that day, you know, because they were moving out of the traditional music camp, you know, and coming up with, it's not really any different today, but back then it was, you know, the idea that you could have a different kind of a sound, you know. So I tried those things, went church hopping for a while, different denominations, and I don't know, just never was really fully satisfied. Move along to about, I can't remember dates very well. I've never been good at that. Hey, I'm a guy, right? That's what women would say. but I think it was around 1988. I had worked with that guy that brought that message of salvation to me and my friend, and seen him off and on. He was having Bible studies. We got introduced to another friend of his, and we'd had some studies and got introduced. And it was all really based on the grace teaching. You know, they still included hell in it. But they got, you know, they were into rightly dividing. They understood that Paul was the apostle for today, etc. So they had a good grasp of basic grace foundations. Along about 1988, one of the guys in the group told me about somebody that was up in Hampton that had a church, and, you know, that was when I met Clyde. It was a 45-minute drive, but I wanted to hear the truth. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know the truth about God. And so went up there, and, you know, I think Clyde and I just clicked right off the bat. I loved Clyde. I loved the fact that Clyde, he loved God. He loved the truth. And he was devoted to not only teaching it, but learning about it. You know, he was an intense researcher, studier. He was passionate about his preaching and teaching of it. So I really enjoyed that. You know, it wasn't the standard Christian formatted, even though we did have some of that, you know, the music, the prayers, you know, but he was really sincere about preaching things that he was learning. And at that point, he had really kind of just, as I recall, just come into the grace understanding and about Pauline authority, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just been a continuous journey for me. I was there when he put out the first issue. I helped him with that, of the Bible Student's Notebook. Don't ask me when that was. I could go take some time. I should have maybe called it up to find out the date about it. But that was, you know, probably back in late 80s, early 90s time frame. He could tell you more about it. I'm sure he has. I'm just terrible at remembering dates. So anyway, we just continued doing that. We had BSN parties along the way. People would volunteer to come in, and we'd take the page down to a printer, and they would print out, you know, a couple thousand copies of this. And we had to collate the pages, fold them a couple of times, staple them, and then, you know, we put tape on and mailing labels so they could get into the mailing system. So it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. But it was expensive, and so it depended on people donating, you know, their money to help with that project, and people did. So, but it just became, after a while, it became pretty expensive. We had, you know, when you figure you've got almost 2,000 people on a mailing list, that's a pricey proposition. I mean, back in the day, but today it would be it's almost unthinkable to consider with the prices of postage, even bulk mailing is. And the whole list wasn't covered. I'm probably going into too much detail. But so that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing it. I just loved being involved with putting out the message of what, you know, we understood to be the truth at that time. So over time, it's been a continuous journey of learning, just, you know, growing in the realization of God. I love that passage by Paul in Colossians, growing. His prayer was that we would continue growing in the realization of God. I love that, because that's really what it's all about. It's not, I mean, as an early believer, you tend to think, oh, I know this, and this is it. I know this is the truth, and I'm never going to change. Somebody comes along and challenges that, and you're stuck. Well, gee, what do I do with this? You know? But I think, you know, God moving in me to learn it. And believe me, I resisted a lot of things for a while. And maybe I still do to some extent. I want to make sure that if I'm going to believe something, change my conviction about something, I want it to be based on the scriptures and a solid understanding of rightly dividing 2 Timothy 2:15, the word of truth, and making sure that it's applicable to me in this current time. That idea of right division was so critical in understanding all of what I've come to believe today, my current convictions. I say current because we may learn something down the road here that's going to change what I believe about something. And I am not ashamed to admit to say that I'm wrong anymore. I'm not embarrassed to say, because that's God's work, not mine. I attribute it all to God. So, and to the present time now, you know, we're doing things electronically. I don't know that we have many people who request a hard copy. I think anybody can download the Bible Students Notebook, print it out for themselves. So, yeah, we do a lot of stuff today. I got into helping him make the books. I was involved in the desktop publishing aspect of it. There were one or two other people who did. But I eventually took over that responsibility. Love it. Using a desktop publishing program to make everything we have available, both either in, you know, hard copy or electronic form. And I also helped to manage the website, this Pilkington and Sons or Study Shelf, whichever website, and keeping that up to date, you know, price increases. I also helped to manage the pay buttons and so on. So I'm pretty involved in all that, helping him with the daily email goodies. I've taken over the responsibility for getting that out. He'll get me the information about what he wants published, and I'll get that prepped and ready to go. And working with you, of course, I've loved meeting you and knowing you and your wonderful ministry of doing the videos and AI and all that stuff. I really think it's a fantastic job you do on all that. So love working with you. As far as my family's concerned, we moved out here in 1996. We used to live out in Hampton Roads, and we did it in preparation for the Y2K thing. Remember when all the computers got shut down and the world was going to end as we knew it, which never happened. They eventually found a fix for everything, but, yeah, with a group of people, we signed on to a partnership agreement. It's beautiful out here. We live in the country, which is becoming less so more and more every day. Just development, moving out, you know, people wanting to get out of the cities, what have you. So, yeah, things are progressing, as they say. You can't resist progress. But we've been living here since then. And, you know, I got a family. You know, my wife and we have four adopted kids and my wife's daughter by another husband who died as a result of he had type 1 diabetes. So we've just grown, I guess you could say, dealing with life, of course, you know, the good and the bad. But
I forgot to mention that you're the executive editor of the BSN.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the process, how the BSN comes together and how you choose what you put in it and that type of thing.
Clyde sends me articles that he's decided to put into the Bible Study Stove book. So I'll take those articles. He sort of pre-edited them. I'll take them and format them for the way we do the Bible Student's Notebook, which I'll just call the BSN. Keep me from tripping over my tongue. So I go through and edit it and format it. And then I send you the articles. For the ones that are made for the key points. And that's another great thing you do. I know you told me you're a gleaner, so to speak. You do a quick read through things and get the points. And that's a good thing we started doing because of your suggestion, which I really appreciate. So once I have all that information, and you also do the audios, which is another great, great, great aspect of the BSN, relatively recently too, over the last couple of years, I guess. So I get all that information. We put it together. He tells me what ads he wants, or I get to choose the ads myself to just cycle through and get the important books out there. And we just put it together. I lay it out in the desktop publishing program that I have. And we send it out to a group of editors. Once I'm done, I put it in a PDF form. And then we send it out to a group of editors who do a great job of finding the things I missed. We're all flawed, but it's especially true to me because I'm so busy doing a lot of different things. I almost glean stuff myself, but you know how the mind works. You read something and you expect it to be a certain way and you sort of miss things. So once they do that and they get their corrections back to me, we have about a month's lead time on that. And then I put the corrections in, and then I finalize it, and then I upload it to the Pilkington & Sons website. I manage that as well, as I think I mentioned that earlier, and create the page to make it available online once it's published.
You've been involved in a lot of books. What are a couple books that have really meant something to you, or really opened your mind to things?
Well, they're all of Clyde's books I really loved because they really spoke the truth about issues. And of course, some of them I think are dated because of what we now know. But The Salvation of All, probably at the top of the list that he did. World Affairs, National Politics is another one. Salvation of All is critical to me because, you used to believe in a God who would send people to hell for not making the right choice before they died or for not doing the right thing, whatever, because I used to believe that salvation was a work, even though I didn't know that at the time. Somebody approached me with that idea and said, well, Andre, if you have to do something, even to choose to believe a certain thing, isn't that doing something which is really a work? And I knew that Paul had said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, then if I had to choose to believe something, I could boast in that decision. So that put me in a conundrum. Hey, what? He had a point. And so that got me to looking at and Clyde was doing writings about salvation of all and really came to understand that issue very clearly. Someone else had said, you could take 100%, let's say. But let's say you take it, make it 99.99999, you only have to do 0.001. That's less than 100%. So if Christ didn't do it all, and it's up to you to do whatever remains, however minor, minimal. Yeah, and if you don't meet the commitment for that tiny little part, then you're not saved. I mean, that's what we used to believe, essentially. You know, I didn't think of it that way at the time, but now, you know, I see that. You know, we were making ourselves our own saviors by making a choice. You know, how silly. And so, you know, that salvation of all was such an important thing to me because I realized that God had already provided the salvation for everyone who would ever live, and not just humanity, but all of his creatures throughout all creation. This is part of the sacrifice of Christ that we didn't know about back in those days when I first was a believer. So, yeah, that was critical. World affairs, national politics is so critical because I was involved in politics. I know in my discussions with you that you were too. And while it's interesting to me today now to see what's going on, it's even more interesting and important that I understand the real issue about what's going on today. This is all man-made. It's all the work, humanity's work in trying to be their own saviors. Everybody's looking for a political savior. You know, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, what country you're in, you want to be able to pick the best. And of course, some people don't even have a choice of what leader they have. They're stuck. So it's all humanity's vain effort. And the most important part of this, The Sovereignty of God, the compilation book, is another good book, an absolute must read, that God is working all things, the good and the evil. And people will, oh, God working evil? Oh, God, that's blasphemy. That's truth. It's only blasphemy if you don't understand it, in my humble opinion. Well, maybe it's not so humble. but come to see that, because if it was up to us, man, we're doomed. You know, it's obvious to me today. Take a look around. Is it working? Is what mankind is doing working in any shape or fashion? No, we see corruption. We see deceit, lying, cheating going on all around us. And it's not just in politics. It's in every facet of human government and management. I don't care whether it's the bowling alley, the local government, the banks, politics, television, I mean, everything. There's corruption that governs it all. And that's not surprising because Satan is the god of this world, Paul calls him, right? So, yeah, that's his job. He's the disruptor in chief. So, yeah, the absolute sovereignty of God, the absolute despotism of grace, God's grace is despotism. Because everyone will succumb to it at some point, willingly, if you will. I mean, how can you stand before God one day and deny that he exists? My belief is that there will be no atheists in heaven.
So. I like what Mike Owen says, post-resurrection amazement.
Yeah. You know, yeah, isn't that
terrible? Like, holy, you know, it's like... it's going to be a surprise. And even for us who have some expectations still, I think are going to be blown away by what's there.
Yeah. Like what Clyde said, you know, everything we know today, everything we see around us that we experience is going to be completely different. I mean, for us who are called to be in the one body, the ecclesia for this dispensation mystery today, imagine waking up one day after we've gone to sleep for the final time, taking that final rest, appearing before the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God. What I like what Mike Owen said about when you're in your mother's womb and you're waiting to be born, you're comfortable. You don't want to leave. And when time comes for you to leave, you start putting up a ruckus. And then Clyde said, no wonder we cry when we come out. we're upset. It's a whole new paradigm. We got used to this one paradigm, whatever conscious thought we had at that point. We, you know, the, what we had going on inside was due to the experiences we had. That was a whole new paradigm, and we had to grow up into a whole new paradigm from a baby to an adult. And that's what God's working to do today with believers. And I believe that the most important thing that we're doing and why I'm so passionate about what we do here is the edification of the body, the one body for today. It's important that, you know, I believe this is Bible Believers Boot Camp for believers. You know, we're here to learn about God, growing in the realization of who he is and what he is and what he's doing and his ultimate glorious plan for his whole creation, not just what's going down here on the earth. So once we get that realization, I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, yeah, about the birth. You know, that was the introduction to a paradigm change for us, our birth. And then we grew up in this current period. You know, we live in a world or in a country where we grew up in a certain society, certain cultural influences, and that could be different depending on where you grow up in this country. But there are people who grow up in other countries who have a totally different paradigm, the way of thinking, their experiences. So God's working to change that paradigm so that one day it'll be like you said, the post-resurrection, how did Mike put it? I forgot. Amazement. Yeah. And that'll happen for everybody. You may die today as an unbeliever, but you know, your salvation is secure, you know, and that I find great comfort in that. I find great love for the Creator and Father who planned this all before the whole thing began back in Genesis 1. He had it, his logos, his plan. That was all part of what he wanted to do. What a wonderful God Father we have.
It's amazing. Just to finish up a little bit, you're in your 70s now.
Oh, yeah.
And
thanks for reminding me.
So what brings you like peace and joy at this point in your life? You may have covered some of that, but.
Yeah. Knowing that God's got it all in hand. He's in control. He's in charge. You know, you think about the worst that could happen to you. Well, when you consider that it's God doing it, what do I have to worry about? What stress do I have to be in? What do I have to stress about? You know, if I have a problem, it's because God put it there for me, for my growth, my edification, my training, if you will. Small or big, good or bad, whatever degree, it's there, it's put there by God. It's part of his plan for me personally. And that's true for every single one of us, whether or not we realize it, whether or not you're a believer. There are certain things in the Bible that brought me to this realization. And Job is a good example where Satan approached God. And God said to Satan, "Hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job?" It's almost like he was baiting Satan. I was talking to Clyde about this, you know. And what he was doing was getting Satan to do a job for him. So by getting Satan to do this job, he provided the framework on which God was showing mankind that he is the one doing the work. But you know what happened after all of that trial and tribulation that Job went through, the suffering? God restored everything to him greater than what he had before, much greater. Yeah. This is God's plan for all of humanity, for all of creation. That gives me peace. I know that when I go to sleep at night, should I wake up in the morning, that's his plan for me. And if not, that's his plan for me. And I'll wake up in tremendous joy and glorifying God for who he is and what he's done. Now, do I complain? Keep my language clean a little bit here. Complain and moan about some of the things that happened? Yeah, I do. I'm a vessel of flawed flesh. That's the way God made me. And he's bringing me through that. But everything that happens to everybody in all humanity from Adam on down to the day of God, the consummation, is there as a demonstration of mankind's absolute need to depend on God for everything. And I can't help but have peace about that. War could be happening around us, crime, violence of all kinds. That's all stuff that's going on that while it may affect me, it has nothing to do with my final or my current or final standing before God.
Yeah, well, I think that's a good place to end this conversation. We'll start another one sometime. So
yeah,
I love working with you. And last year or two, that's been such a I'm honored to do so. And I've learned so much just being forced to, you know, to dig in. And so, you know, and that for me has brought me that peace as well, you know. And as we do this, we're like, 5 days from our election.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get caught up in that, and then I take a breath and say, look, you know, got the next president's already been chosen.
Absolutely.
You know, and so. Yeah.
And when you realize that it's not the believer's calling to be involved in that.
No.
And, you know, I love the video you did with Clyde about Christian nationalism. Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
We're not called to be a part of that.
So, all right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. And we'll see you all soon.